Today, we are going to talk about schedulers. More specifically, we are going to compare two schedulers from two operating systems, Linux and FreeBSD. We'll try to understand how they differ in terms of design and how their design can affect the performances of the applications they are running. So what is a scheduler? The scheduler of an operating system achieves an important role, that is running the task of a system. To do so, it has to solve multiple challenges. First, it has to assign a set of tasks to a smaller set of cores. It has to ensure high hardware utilization, namely CPU utilization. A scheduler also has to be fast and with low overhead. Finally, the scheduler must be able to react to the changes in the workload. Linux and FreeBSD are using different schedulers. For most tasks, Linux uses CFS, which is supposed to be completely fair. On the other hand, FreeBSD uses ULE, which is supposed to have good interactive performances. Both schedulers are designed to run a large number of tasks on a large number of cores, but their design and implementation details differ greatly. Our goal in this work is to compare CFS and ULE in terms of design and assess the impact of each design on performances. As a disclaimer, our goal is to provide an apple-to-apple comparison between the two and not declare a clear winner. So we want to compare which each scheduler is impacting performances. But the schedulers are coming from different kernels and operating systems. Thus, naively running the application on both operating systems and comparing the result afterwards would be highly biased. We needed a strategy to single out the performance difference coming from the schedulers only. Our solution to this problem was to use transplanting, where we transplanted one scheduler into the other kernel alongside the original one. When running the applications, we can simply choose which scheduler to choose. To use. Everything else in the kernel and above stays exactly the same, so we are effectively getting rid of any bias introduced by any other component of the kernel. So which scheduler did we choose to transplant? Well, CFS is around 18,000 lines of code out of 413, and ULE is barely at 3,000, so we naturally chose to transplant ULE into Linux. Obviously, transplanting a scheduler into a different kernel did not come without any challenges. The first challenge came from the interface mismatch between the two schedulers. Linux offers some sort of an API to easily add new schedulers. This API is constituted of user-defined functions that solve a specific problem, anchoring a task, decurring a task, take the next task to run. FreeBSD does not offer such an API, but luckily for us, the function inside ULE could, to some extent, easily be mapped to the kernel parts in Linux. The second challenge we had to face was the different low-level assumptions coming from both kernels. For instance, the locking policy in both kernels is different, more specifically when holding multiple locks. The run queue management is also another matter. Data structures, locks, indexes, all are different between the two kernels. The priority range of both schedulers is also different. CFS handles nice tasks only, while ULE runs all the tasks of the system, kernel and user land. Thus, the code of the transported scheduler, ULE in our case, had to be slightly modified to comply with Linux assumptions. Before diving into the technical side of things, let's look at the high-level performance comparison of CFS and ULE. Our evaluation consists of a mix of synthetic benchmarks and realistic applications running on a 32-core machine. Those benchmarks had two purposes. First, they let us test our implementation, making sure everything is fine in the transported scheduler. But they also gave us some clues on where to look for differences between the two. Here's a graph with some benchmarks. Each bar represents the speedup of the application running on the transported ULE related with respect to CFS. Overall, the performance difference is really small, less than 3% in favor of ULE, so no clear winner. However, we can see some interesting outliers. So something is going on. Even though we are only changing the scheduler, we can still have big performance gaps. That means that the scheduler can really have an impact on performance. But to understand why, we will need to go deeper and compare the design themselves. We're not going to see a non-exhaustive list of major design differences between ULE and CFS and understand how those differences relate to performances. The first major difference is the way both schedulers are dealing with interactive tasks. So some terminology first. A task can be either interactive or batch. An interactive task is a task that spends most of its time sleeping. A batch task is the opposite. that is, a task that spends what they've stopped computing with very little sleep. So how are CFS and ULE handling those tasks? Let's take a look at CFS first. Because the goal of CFS is to be fair among all tasks, it does not distinguish between interactive and batch tasks, but rather pick the one with the lowest runtime in the run queue. Let's run a simple example. We have three tasks. The yellow tasks are interactive, while the blue task is batch. CFS does not care about the classification and always pick the one at the top of the run queue. In this case, the task is interactive. The core runs the task and put it back into the run queue later. The same applies for batch tasks, and so on and so forth. Let's now look at ULE's internals. In ULE's world, things are different. The scheduler distinguishes interactive tasks and batch tasks and put them in two different separate run queues. The tasks are still ordered by runtime on each run queue, but interactive tasks always have the absolute priority over batch tasks. Let's go over our example again, but with ULE this time. ULE picks tasks from the top of the interactive run queue as long as it is not empty. This ensures that interactive tasks have the absolute priority. The core runs the task and puts it back into the corresponding run queue. This goes on as long as the interactive run queue is not empty. Now, if the interactive run queue is empty, then ULE will try to look for a task in a batch run queue instead, and run if there is one. So both schedulers have their own rationale. With CFS, everything must be fair, and thus no distinction at all between the tasks. ULE, on the other hand, tries to solve the latency problem with interactive tasks by giving them absolute priority over batch tasks. While it seems dangerous at first, the rationale is that this shouldn't be a problem because interactive tasks are supposed to sleep most of the time. Moreover, both schedulers work the same way when dealing with only one class of tasks, because in this case, they both pick the task with the lowest amount of runtime from a single run queue. Just for a comparison point of view, the only interesting case is when we mix interactive tasks with batch tasks. This is exactly what we did in our first experiment. In this experiment, we have two applications running in parallel on a single core machine. One interactive application with 80 interactive threads and one single-threaded batch application. Both applications run in parallel, and we compare the evolution of their runtime. Here are the results of the experiment. For both schedulers, we trace the evolution of the aggregated runtime of both applications. On the x-axis, we have the real-time. On the y-axis, we have the runtime, both in seconds. Each curve represents one application. The orange one is for the interactive application, and the black one for the batch application. Let's take a closer look at CFS first. We can see that when both applications are running, the curve almost have the same slope. That means that we have fairness, as expected from CFS. There is no sign of starvation whatsoever, as both curves are always increasing. Now, on ULE's side, something interesting is happening. Looking at the runtimes, we see that the batch task is starving when the interactive threads are running. Indeed, the 80 interactive threads saturate the CPU to the point that the batch task is actually starving because it does not have the priority over interactive tasks. By starving the batch application, the interactive application gets the entire CPU for itself and thus performs better on ULE than CFS. Therefore, interactive application may perform better on ULE, but at the expense of possible starvation of other background tasks. But it does not stop there. The starvation problem in ULE can also happen between the threads of a single application, where some threads are starving their siblings. We call this phenomenon auto-starvation. Surprisingly, this can be good for performances because it can avoid oversubscription of the CPU. The reason behind this is too complex for this talk, so I recommend reading the paper to understand why. In summary, for the handling of interactive tasks, in ULE, interactive tasks have the absolute priority over batch tasks, but they can also starve them, even in the context of a single application. In CFS side, we have fairness, as expected. All the tasks are treated equally, and we don't experience any starvation. The second major difference is the way the preemption is working in both schedulers. Upon waking up or creating a new thread, the scheduler can choose to preempt the currently running task. In CFS, full preemption is enabled by default. That is, any task can preempt any other task as long as it is of lower or equal priority. In ULE, full preemption is disabled by default. Only kernel tasks can preempt others. So what is the impact of this choice? To measure it, we've been running an Apache workload on a single core machine again. The Apache workload consists of server workers and a request injector. We run the benchmark with perf and compare the results and low-level events in both schedulers. For this workload, UOLIS performs better than CFS by around 40%. If we take a deeper look at what's going on with CFS, we can see more than 2 million preemptions of the request injector in roughly 4 minutes. What is happening is that every time the request injector sends a request, it will wake up a worker. This worker will preempt the injector to start working on the request, and thus further requests are delayed and overall performances decrease. UOLIS obviously does not suffer from this because full preemption is disabled by default. In summary, UOLIS does not have full preemption. CFS does, but in some cases, it can worsen performances. The third difference comes from the load balancing. When it comes to multi-core CPU, the scheduler must be able to balance the load on all cores. Obviously, both CFS and UOLIS implement their own load balancing algorithm, which differ in 4 main points. First, the load metrics. In CFS, the load of a core is a very complex metric involving a lot of heuristics. In UOLIS, it is simply the number of tasks running on that core. The second point concerns NUMA machines. CFS load balancer is hierarchical, migrating between NUMA nodes and between group of nodes, etc. UOLIS, on the other hand, does not care about the hierarchy and considers all the CPUs as SMPs. Both schedulers are triggering the load balancer periodically, but with very different periods. In CFS, it can be as much as every 4 milliseconds, while UOLIS chooses a bigger period, randomly chosen between 0.5 and 1.5 seconds. Finally, the load balancer in CFS can migrate multiple tasks from the loaded core at once, while UOLIS surprisingly migrates at most one. To measure the impact, we needed a benchmark with a lot of threads that would put some stress on the load balancers. Our goal is to compare both the speed and the efficiency of both load balancers. Our experiment is composed of 5 steps. The first step is to spawn a large amount of threads all pinned at a single core. In this example, we use core 0. Once all the threads are spawned, we remove the pin constraint. At that point, the load balancer will start its work and migrate tasks around. We also make sure to save the size of all the run queues at every migration event. We wait until we reach a stable state, that is until the migration storm is over, and we record the time it took to reach that state. For the experiment, we used C-Ray, a massively parallel ray tracer with 512 threads. Because in C-Ray, all the threads are identical. Because of this, we would expect from both schedulers to reach the perfect balancing by the end of the experiment, that is 16 threads per core on a 32 cores machine. Here are the 2 load graphs representing the load of each core over time for each scheduler. On the x-axis, we have the time in second. On the y-axis, we have the cores. Each line is a core, and the color is encoding the size of its run queue at that point of time. There are some interesting things going on here. First, let's take a look at the end of the experiment. We can see that at the end of the experiment, UOLIS achieves perfect balancing, while CFS is struggling. The reason for the struggle comes from the NUMA heuristics used by CFS that can be stuck in an imbalanced state. Now, if we look at the timeline on UOLIS, we can see that it takes more than 4 minutes for UOLIS to spread out the load evenly. Why is that? Remember that UOLIS can only migrate one task at a time from a loaded core per load balancer evocation. Once all the threads are unpinned, idle cores can also still task, but again, they still at most one task from the loaded core. Thus, after the sitting part, the other core will never be idle again. And it's up to the load balancer to slowly migrate the task one by one from core 0 to the other cores. CFS, on the other hand, has no limit on the number of migrations. It balances the load much faster with around 400 migrations in the first 0.2 seconds. But once again, heuristics are a problem, and the load is never uniform. In summary, UOLIS load balancer uses simple load metric and can manage perfect balancing. However, due to its implementation, it can be very slow in some cases. On CFS, the load metric is very complex using a lot of heuristics. Because of this, it can end up being stuck in imbalanced states, but it is very efficient at spreading the load rapidly. Fourth and final major difference, the thread placement policy. Upon waking up a thread or creating a new thread, the scheduler must choose on which core this thread will be enqueued. CFS again uses heuristics for this, those heuristics are used to restrict the list of suitable cores, and at that point, CFS chooses the one with the lowest load. Sorry. Yoli, on the other hand, is much simpler, and chooses the core having the absolute minimum number of tasks on the system. Once again, those design decisions have an impact on performances. To compare the thread placement policies, we simply spawn a large amount of threads on all available cores and record the size of the run queues over time. Again, C-Ray was the right choice for this. The output of the experiment is a load graph again. Let's take a look at ULEs first. In ULE, we can see that the load is always more or less uniform. However, in this scenario, we also have to deal with the auto-starvation problem we learned about earlier. Threads from the same application, C-Ray in our case, are starving each other. In this case, it slows down the creation of threads, which is why it takes roughly 12 seconds to spawn all the workers. In CFS, we can see that the NUMA heuristic makes the load really imbalanced at the beginning, between the first and the fifth second, because all the threads are spawned on the same NUMA node. Then over time, the periodic load balancer tries to fix this, but still struggles to reach perfect balancing for the same reasons as before. In summary, the thread placement policy in ULE always considers all the cores, and thus it releases some pressure from the load balancer. Because of this, the load is always uniform. With CFS, the policy is only considers a subset of all available cores using heuristics. It might worsen the balancing in case of large spawn rates. This concludes our work. What we can get out of this is scaling is hard, and it's even harder on multi-core machines. The design choices, as well as the implementation details, can have a great impact on the performances on the applications running on top of the scaler, sometimes in very unexpected ways. No scaler between CFS and ULE is better than the other on all workloads. Thank you.
Hi, Miki, University of Toronto. It looks like you've been relying on C-Ray having equal load, equal work being done by each thread. Now, I try to look at it right now, but it's a little big. C-Ray is a ray tracer. Just because all the threads are running the same code doesn't mean they're doing the same amount of work. In fact, if it doesn't do any work stealing, it depends on the complexity of the scene it's rendering, the spatial, like the way work is divided. So, can you comment on that? Like, did you check? Is there some?
We use like a simple, really simple scene so that the work per pixel, let's say, is almost equal everywhere.
All right, thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead. Sudarshan, Wisconsin Madison. So, I had a question in terms of what type of setting do you, like memory policy when you do the NUMA, do you leave it to the CFS, like you use the automatic NUMA balancing for the NUMA placement? So when you use automatic NUMA balancing for ray tracer, were all the accesses happening for the local memory, or were they also going to the remote memory? Because NUMA balancing, I assume, looks at like if there are a lot of accesses in a remote memory, then it starts doing the migration.
But We didn't go that much into details for like memory accesses. Our goal was really, in our case, we saw some troubles with the NUMA balancing. You shouldn't really expect having all the threads on a single NUMA node for more than maybe a few milliseconds. But in our case, for 5 seconds, all the threads were on the same NUMA node, which is like, eight cores. So I agree with the fact that when it's balanced, you have to also consider memory accesses and all, but it wasn't really our focus on this.
Hi, Dan Williams from IBM. I was wondering, so you mentioned that the Linux implementation had allowed for plugging in different schedulers, and I was wondering if you were comparing against other Linux implementations of the schedulers, whether these characteristics would be the same ones, you know, the thread placement and these types of things, if they're the same kind of characteristics across all these different implementations that you could potentially evaluate, or?
I don't really necessarily mean other schedulers of Linux.
So when you talked about comparing the FreeBSD scheduler with the Linux one, and you said that the Linux scheduling framework allowed for different schedulers to be put in, and you had to port the FreeBSD one, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that there are other Linux schedulers that you could have evaluated against CFS.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
And I was just wondering if the types of things that you would look at, the types of differences that you would expect to see across the different Linux implementations would be similar to the types of differences that you're seeing.
Well, our focus was really on CFS for this one, but you can also do the same thing for Auchi or any other scheduler, like you have BrainFuck scheduler from, I don't remember his name.
Okay.
But you have a lot of other scheduler available. The API thing is just implementation details.
Matt Stock, Limelight Networks. So not specific to your research, but I'm curious, is there a specific reason that you are able to determine why ULE only migrates one process at a time? Or is it just it was kind of a naive implementation and no one has actually taken the effort to go change it?
That's kind of like, we had mixed comments on this. I've heard of it was an implementation like error, I would say. But you also have to consider that the thread placement policy is somehow doing some load balancing too, because it's considering all the cores. So there is not much pressure on the load balancer compared to CFS. If you look at CFS, the thread placement will only consider a subset of a core, and then it leaves the work up to the load balancer like to spread out evenly. In ULE, it's not that way. The thread placement policy will spread out the load. I mean, at least we try. And so you have less pressure on the load balancer. So I don't know. Make your idea of this.
Have you looked at the non-default parameter setup where you can assign different priority in CFQ? Say if you assign high priority to interactive workload, would you expect that achieve the same impact as ULE? So the broader question
on CFS putting high priorities for interactive workloads?
Right. So the broader question is, do you think that the scheduler should make the prediction of interactive versus batch, or the application can assign their IO priorities?
That's interesting. We didn't try it. Can't try it on your own. That would be interesting. But I feel like it would be closer to the performances we could have on ULE, but it's still fair. So ULE is, I won't say only good for this, but ULE is good because it's starving all the other tasks and only your interactive application is running. If you try to do the same thing in CFS, you won't be able to do that, even if you put the like highest priority on your interactive workload.
Last question. Hey, Saul Boucher, Carnegie Mellon. I was looking at your benchmarks for the handling of NUMA nodes, and it seems to me that with the ray tracing example you're doing, you probably have a common graphics output buffer. So it seems like you'll have a performance cliff as you scale to like the second NUMA node, as you start to ping pong cache between the two nodes. Did you look at the throughput? Maybe I missed it, but did you look at the throughput of the individual cores and see whether you were actually gaining anything by having better utilization across NUMA nodes?
No, we just looked at the load itself, not anything much too detailed.
Okay, so the performance could actually be worse even though the core utilization is better.
Maybe.
Thanks.
Can't comment on that.